Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is the perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas. But our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we're here with comedian Kelsey Cook, and she's got her second special out now called Mark Your Territory on Hulu and YouTube. And Kelsey, you are just, you know, I've recently discovered you, and you are hysterical. I love your kind of humor, and I love the things you talk about, but I don't really get that funny vibe from you.
Oh my God, you're going to make me choke on my water. That's so funny that you that you know that joke. Yeah.
I love it. Can you talk about that? A doctor told you that, right?
Yes, yes. So my mom, unfortunately, she has this very rare type of dementia, and she was in the hospital a couple years ago for a chunk of time, and like 3 weeks into it, her doctor turned to me and was like, "So I heard you're a comedian." And I was like, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "Ah, it just, that kind of surprises me because I don't really get a funny vibe from you." And I was so shocked. And I was like, "Well, my mom's still in the hospital after 3 weeks, so I'm not really getting a great doctor vibe."
You know, I could relate to that so much. Yeah. I used to do a morning show, just a, you know, crazy, silly morning show, and was kind of, you know, known around town for a while. And I walked into a grocery store one time, and I was at the butcher shop, and I go up to this guy, and I go, "Hey, can I help me?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Are you Randy Miller?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I never listened to you." And I'm like, "Well, all of a sudden I'm a vegan then, because I don't want any of your meat." I mean, you just, why people have to say things like that? And I know you talk about, and this is another thing that is just right up my alley. You talk about, you know, navigating a parent with dementia, and that's
yeah.
You got to have a sense of humor to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really, it chews you up and spits you out. It's, I just feel like nothing prepares you for your parent having dementia. It's such a like uniquely awful experience. But yeah, it is so dark that like you have to try to find any moment that brings some light to it, or else it's just, you know, it'll absolutely crush you. So I like to talk about how my mom she's in the Foosball Hall of Fame. Like my family and I are pro foosball players, which is so weird, I know. But, you know, when people with dementia, they say things sometimes that sound like it's not real. And so anytime my mom gets a new nurse and my mom is like, I'm in the Foosball Hall of Fame, the nurse is always like, oh, sure you are. Oh, lady, I swear to God. And it's like so hard to convince these nurses that when my mom's talking about that, it's real, because it just sounds so insane. But I'm like, no, I promise that this is not the dementia talking. She's actually in the Foosball Hall of Fame.
That's funny. We're talking to Kelsey Cook here in the National Defense. Her second special, Mark Your Territories, out on Hulu and YouTube. And my dad is the one in our family with dementia right now. And he's, and I don't mean to say that like everybody in my family, you know, has dementia, but from time to time, but that's not true.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's the only one right now. The only one that I even know.
I'm so sorry.
And he will, but, you know, funny things do happen. And he drove his car. He's 85, and he insists on driving, and drove his car through his condo 2 weeks ago. I mean, all the way through his condo to the back fence, and created this. He was fine. He had not a scratch on him.
And, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, he's, you know, everything is kind of back to normal now. But I went in. He lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, and. And the first thing he tells me is, hey, Randy, can you help me get another car? And I go, Dad, that is the single worst idea that you've ever had. And,
no,
and he sees like a Ford Focus or something out on the road, kind of a smaller car. And he says, you know, that'd be kind of nice to have. And I said, well, that would make a smaller hole, you know, in your condo. But he's just... you know, it's you have those good days, you have those bad days, and you gotta handle all of it, right?
Yeah, it's so much. You feel so much for them, and it's one of those ones where it's so hard for the family, because you're losing this person slowly, and it's their mind. You know, it's not just that their body's deteriorating; it's like who they are is fading. And yeah, it's just so heartbreaking. But I love my mom so much, and I'm here in Spokane, where I'm from originally, and so we got to hire a van service last night and bring my mom out to the show.
Oh, and that's great.
I don't know that she totally gets what's going on at the show anymore, but I feel so lucky to get have her in the crowd still.
That's so cool.
It's really special to me.
Yeah, we're talking to Kelsey Cook here on the National Defense, and she's got the second special, Mark Your Territory, on Hulu and YouTube. It's out now. And you mentioned the foosball, which is, you know, it's just, you don't meet anybody that is a professional foosball player like yourself. And your series, which, did you come up with the name for the series, Wrists of Fury? I love that.
Wrists of Fury. Thank you. You know, it might have been comedian John Heffron. He was one of the ones that was like, you've got to be doing something with this. This is like such a crazy, unique skill.
Right.
People would absolutely watch this. And so I have to give him credit for being the one to like get me going with it, because you know, otherwise I maybe wouldn't have. But can't remember who came up with Wrists of Fury. It might have been me. I'm not sure.
And so you go into these places and you're just, you know, you talk to these guys and, hey, I've never played foosball. And then you take all their money. I love that so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very fun to play that ditzy girl and like kind of talk like this and be like, oh my gosh, like, is this chess? I don't know. I've never played. Like, you guys should show me how to play. And then play really terribly at first just to build their confidence up, and then be like, okay, like, I think I've got the hang of it. We should play for money. And watch every guy put their whole wallet on the table and pull out my foosball grip glove. And I mean, I've never done cocaine, but I would assume it feels similar.
Ah, that is so good. Well, I've seen a couple of your appearances on the Tonight Show, and you Comedy Central, you've been on so many different things. What is the, can you point to I know it's all exciting, but can you point to a single event that has been the most exciting so far in your comedy career?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. You know, the first time doing the Tonight Show, it really is such like an iconic thing where you're like, wow. I mean, I grew up in this small town outside of Spokane where the two career options seemed like it was farmer and like farmer's assistant. You know, it was not a lot of glitz and glamour coming out of Genie, Washington. And so you do the Tonight Show and you're like, this is just so crazy that I got here, right? It just feels like it's so far away when you start out. So that was a very cool experience.
Oh man, that is so cool. And I know you've got a podcast out that you do called Pretend Problems, and you do it with your boyfriend Chad Daniels, and you talk about the perks of dating an older man. Are there perks?
I do. I think there are. I tell my single friends, it's like, look, they've got their lives together. They're financially secure. And Chad has a lake cabin. So I was like, I do not care if he has a fake hip. Like, that's not the priority right now. He's got a jet ski. My life is good. So, yeah, there are definitely perks to dating an older man.
and they also have their own medications. I mean, you know, you don't have to figure things out for them.
They got their little pillbox. They got everything. It's just a nice time. I really love it. But no, he's truly the best. I feel very lucky.
That's so good. Hey, Kelsey. Hey, best of luck with everything. I mean, you don't need it. You're doing great. And I just love your stuff. I'm so happy to have discovered you. Kelsey Cook and her new special, Mark Your Territory, on Hulu and YouTube. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, and I'll be thinking of you and your dad.
Hey, thank you so much. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hello, this is Steve Keeker, President of Senior Care Consulting. I'm so excited to announce that we are expanding nationwide by awarding Senior Care Consulting franchises. We help our clients find the right senior care community, including assisted living, memory care, long-term care, and continuing care retirement communities. We are not another run-of-the-mill free referral service. We're very different. We offer a placement service with integrity. Owning a senior care consulting franchise offers many benefits. Our market is not affected by the economy. Operate from your home office and enjoy work-life balance. Pour your passion into a business you can be proud of. For more information about owning a senior care consulting franchise, call 833-722-3726, 833-722-3726, or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer from legendary Direct Connection Performance Parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
If you're in business, then you need a trusted source for how to grow, make more profit, and have more time and freedom. Chris Guerrero is an entrepreneur, investor, and best-selling author. His podcast takes you behind the scenes and shows you what it takes to be successful in today's freakishly hectic, highly congested, and overly hyped world of business. Subscribe now on YouTube and Instagram or wherever you listen to podcasts and plug into today's top business tips for free. Follow Chris Guerrero on Apple, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we are so honored. This is such a treat for me. Lonnie Ali is here with us. She's the chair of the Muhammad Ali Index and co-founder of the Muhammad Ali Center. And we're going to talk about the 2025 Compassion Report. And, of course, married to Muhammad Ali for, I think, 30 years. Is that right, Lonnie?
That is correct.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Listen, before we get into the report, how did you and Muhammad Ali meet?
I'm from Louisville as well. I met Muhammad when I was 6 years old in first grade. in Louisville, and
that's great.
We moved into the neighborhood that he had purchased a home for his family, his parents, and he had come home from training for the first Sonny Liston fight. He'd come in from Miami, and he was sitting on his front porch of his mom's house, and every little boy in the neighborhood was there. I mean, every little boy in the neighborhood was there, and he spotted me in the doorway and sent my brother to get me. That's how I met him.
and the dating started when you were seven?
Seven? No. No, absolutely not. Not when I was seven. But I think what you're referring to is that I knew at 17 I was going to marry Mom. That was just, it was like an epiphany.
Yeah,
he was nowhere in the city, anything. But yeah, Muhammad was like a mentor for me.
I got to tell you, Louisville, Kentucky is one of my favorite cities in the world. And I know that it was a favorite to Muhammad, and I'm sure for you too. But that city has so much to offer. And, you know, I mean, just the Ali presence alone, but just a great place to live, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, we were both. Muhammad was a very proud Louisvillian. You know, he always announced from the ring that, you know, he was from Louisville, Kentucky,
right.
And I am as well. I'm very proud to be from Louisville.
Yeah, that's a great
And
story.
As a matter of fact, I should say that, you know, I'm even more proud, too, that Louisville, when we did this Compassion report and the Muhammad Ali Index, we were second only to Seattle. Seattle was first as far as being a compassionate city. Louisville was second, which I was very proud of.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me. And also the fact that there was a 4,000% surge in compassion-related online searches by more Americans. Lonnie, what does that say to you?
Well, I think people are trying to find common ground. They want us to get along. They want to find common ground and solutions and promote a healthier society. But this is following a 4-year decline of compassion in the United States. 60% of people feel that compassion has declined since 2020. I mean, and I'm not talking about acts of compassion where there's natural disasters like the experience with the hurricanes or the floods or what happened in Los Angeles recently with the fires. People will come together and show compassion there, but in their daily living, it has decreased. And hopefully with this Compassion Report, which is our inaugural report and only a snapshot in time, we can help build that compassion muscle, help people learn how to be more compassionate, first with themselves and taking that out from there.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Snoop Dogg, Tom Brady Super Bowl commercial.
It was very poignant.
Right. Where you're talking about, why do we have to have a commercial to remind people to be more compassionate, right?
Right. I mean, everybody is talking about it, but we can't be afraid not to use it. Muhammad, you know, the Muhammad Ali Center is dedicated to Muhammad's legacy. And compassion was definitely the core of his legacy. He was the torchbearer of compassion, where he used his platform and influence to change the world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he broke down barriers. He united people. Muhammad could have cared less.
You know, and
where you came from, what your politics were, what religion you practiced,
right.
You know, how much money you had in your pocket. None of that mattered to him. What he cared about was you as a human being, that you were a child of God, you know?
Yeah.
That is what he connected to.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think Muhammad did very well, and we always talk about it on this show, is the fact that he used his sense of humor. How important is
Oh, gosh.
I mean, how important is a sense of humor in breaking down those barriers?
Muhammad used whatever tool was at his disposal to break down barriers, and he did have a great sense of humor. But I think it's important. You know, we sometimes don't allow ourselves that sense of humor of laughing not only at ourselves, but at, you know, jokes other people may make.
Right.
Sometimes we may be too politically correct.
Yeah.
But I think Muhammad used humor. I mean, Muhammad definitely was not politically correct, believe me.
You're right.
But Muhammad used humor all the time. I mean, all the time he used humor to break down barriers. But he always had something in his pocket, usually a magic trick, to show people, because he was all about bringing people in.
Yeah.
He was very inclusive, you know? He wanted people brought in.
And we're talking to Lonnie Ali here in the National Defense, chair of the Muhammad Ali Index, a co-founder of the Muhammad Ali Center. And when you guys first got married, I mean, you're obviously such a strong, influential person now. Were you like that when you first got married? I mean, the spotlight was certainly on Muhammad. Did you grow into that role?
I believe I did. I you know, when I first met Muhammad, I was extremely, extremely shy. But, you know, when I married Muhammad, he was already, you know, well into the, you know, his path on the Parkinson's disease. He was afflicted with Parkinson's disease. So one of the things it did, it robbed him of his voice, his ability to project his voice. So I had to become his voice.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. So I sort of grew into that position, that role.
That's incredible. And I just saw, you know, a great documentary about Muhammad and his relationship with Billy Crystal. That had to be a special relationship.
Oh, yeah. Billy, that was a mutual admiration society there.
Right,
Muhammad
right.
used to refer to Billy as his little brother, you know, and Billy had great love and still has great love and admiration for Muhammad.
That is so cool. And on this 2025 Compassion Report, I know that you want everybody to sign the Ali Compassion Pledge. What is that?
That is a personal commitment for each and every one of us to practice compassion each and every day, just like Muhammad did. Muhammad believed and taught me and the kids that we should be in a race to do good every day, and that included acts of kindness every day. And even the smallest act of kindness is a spark that can ignite a flame that can transform the world. And if you don't believe me, just watch Muhammad's life and then look at his memorial celebration in Louisville. Mm. How many people descended on the city. And all of that was because Muhammad always flexed that compassion muscle each and every day of his life, multiple times a day. It was the core of who he was. Even when I met him at 6, that's who he was.
Wow. He just had that presence. He had that compassion.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about, I love this too, the index is a continuation of his life's work of building a more just and compassionate world, one where everyone has the opportunity to reach their own greatness. And I do believe that the more compassionate you are, the greater you are and the greater you feel with everybody, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
I love that so much. Lonnie, listen, it's such an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you. And thank you, Muhammad Ali, for continuing to cast a shadow of greatness on our world. Thank you so much.
Randy, if I may say, of still shining that light on that
yes.
pathway.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And our audience, Lonnie, is active duty military veterans and their families. And we always say on this show, that is the greatest example of diversity and non-judgment in the world, because, you know, your battle buddy, you don't care about their politics. You don't care where they're from.
No.
You don't care.
No.
You know, it's just, that's who they are, and you accept that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lonnie, thank you so much. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
60 Seconds of Service.
This 60 Seconds of Service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. The devastating Los Angeles wildfires have left many families grappling with significant loss and uncertainty. Soldiers Angels is working directly with the Los Angeles VA and local military units to provide critical support to veterans, service members, and their families who have been directly impacted by this disaster. Soldiers Angels is stepping in to provide essential items and support to these families during this incredibly difficult time. Furthermore, thousands of National Guard and Reserve service members have been activated to assist in disaster relief efforts, with more expected to join in the coming weeks. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, realworldleaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I really like your emphasis on servant leadership. I am a leader in my Boy Scout troop, and I've had to learn how to use servant leadership to really communicate with my scouts. And I just think this is just a great way to build positive relationships with people you work with.
That's amazing. So, Jacob, let me ask you another question. You're familiar with the term servant leadership through scouts. How did it feel when Darlene started talking about that and you see the real-world connection?
I just thought it was great, you know? It helps me see how I can use servant leadership outside of Boy Scouts and just in my day-to-day life.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work-ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
Should we officially shut down the Postal Service?
The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet.
The Postal Service had a monopoly in the United States, and it still couldn't make money. After the email revolution, they didn't change a thing. Should it be bought out by a big tech firm like Amazon?
Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. We are so happy to have Ben Patton with us. You may know that last name pretty well. His grandfather was General George S. Patton, and he's here with us on the National Defense. Ben, how are you?
I'm great. Such a pleasure to be here. I've heard a lot about your program, and it's great to finally be in the circle of trust here.
Here's the circle, and here's you. Absolutely, Ben. Great to have you. And, you know, before we get into to what we're here talking about, it's a great organization that that you have formed. That had to be just crazy for the longest time, the grandson of General George Patton. When did you first become aware as a kid who your grandfather really is and his legacy?
Well, I mean, probably when I was about 6, when I believe my parents figured out a way to show me Patton, which came out when I was about 6 years old. And in fact, George C. Scott had come over to our house and brought the film on 16 millimeter reels. And there's a kind of a funny story there, but I mean, it's he brought the film over and wanted to ask my father what he thought of the portrayal. And I'm pretty sure I saw that film that year at 5 years old. So, that was probably when I first started becoming aware of it. But you have to understand also that I was my father's son. My father was, was a major general, also a graduate of West Point, 1946. And so, and he was actually spent more time on the front lines and was more decorated than his father, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
He's kind of my hero. And as you may or may not know, I wrote a book about him called Growing Up Patton about 12 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, what an illustrious military family that you come from, and you know, you've certainly taken that all in with the thing that you started, the PVP, the Veterans Project, as far as filmmaking and workshops, and you guys have been doing this for how long now?
Well, about 14 years, but I mean, it's certainly inspired by my father's example and my grandfather's example. I mean, these were audacious warriors who I think were under sort of appreciated for some of their lesser known skills and capabilities, one of which was taking care of their troops. And I think that's something that we as Americans, and I'm a civilian, never missed a meal or heard a shot fired in anger, but I do believe it's kind of our job. You know, it's our job now to take care of these vets and their families and to keep our eye on them. And I think that was something that was passed down from my father and my grandfather and frankly, their wives as well, to take care of your troops, take care of your people, top down loyalty.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care of that tribe. And you certainly carried on that tradition with the Patton Veterans Project. And you've got some great films on your website. I watched a couple of these last night. And that the scenes of service. Now, and I believe, if I'm correct, this is the one that feature all females. And it was shot with all of them in one day. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I perhaps should back up and give you a little context for what we're talking about. Would you like me to give you a little background on how, what the organization's function is and how it operates?
Absolutely.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Great. So I had a background in psychology and filmmaking, and for the longest time had wanted to teach filmmaking and wanted to work with kids, actually. So I started an organization with another friend that was actually doing film camps over 2 week periods in the summer in Colorado and in Massachusetts on a farm in Massachusetts. And what happened was when we started to do these recreational film workshops, we started to see that many people were making films about identity. Many of these 13 to 18 year olds about puberty and adolescence and their first kiss and their first pimple and, you know, whatever, getting hazed or dealing with identity changes. And so it started to occur to me that maybe this process would also be valuable to a veteran that was coming back from downrange to sort of seek out their new norm and to be comfortable with who they were about to become. And I collaborated with my father's chopper pilot, a guy named Charlie Watkins, who lives near Fort Carson. And we got an entree to the base there and started doing workshops. And we started to find that, in fact, this was very, very valuable for veterans that were in transition, trying to find themselves, trying to figure out who they were. And there's a lot of stories that you've experienced, a lot of things you've experienced that you often don't want to talk about with your wife or your husband or whoever it is, or family or even friends in some cases. But maybe you're willing to work together with other veterans that are in the same boat and make a film that channels aspects of what that experience felt like. They might not be documentary because you're working with several other people. So you can't just make your film, you know, Randy's film or Ben's film. It's got to be a collaborative thing. But in some ways, that's what makes it so effective, because it's safe. It's safe because I can maybe not be in the film or be in the film, or it can be someone else's story or a composite of different stories, but it channels things that you've experienced in a way that can be extremely therapeutic.
Well, and yeah, you put your finger right on it there, Ben. We're talking to Benjamin Patton here on the National Defense and the PattonVeteransProject.org. You could check out some of these films. But the scenes of service, I mean, it seems like most of the films that have been done by the veterans, they certainly have a specific viewpoint and a specific thing to talk about. And some of them, not easy things to talk about. The sexual assault, for example, and things like that that aren't talked about that much, that in a 5-minute film come across as so powerful. And I would imagine that's something with the, especially with scenes of service, what a message there at the end that that every female veteran certainly can appreciate and relate to.
Certainly. Well, the way it works is, you know, we'll put together these film workshops, which have about, you know, 15 or 20 vets in them and five professional film instructors. In fact, my instructors are very, very good. One of them just won an Oscar this past year. So
Guys
are really talented.
It's a real deal.
So, yeah, so we bring them together into a classroom. And over the course of 3 days, they get to know each other. It's free program. It's free food and beverages. And they're there Friday evening and all day Saturday and all day Sunday. They don't tend to know each other. They come together. They learn a little about film theory. We do some exercises where they learn the art and science of making a film and creativity. And then they self-select into groups around whatever themes and whatever topics we throw up on the board that they're interested in, and that could be 50 different things, and we distill them down, and then they self-select into groups and make a short film with three or four other people that they don't know. And that's the power of it. Because if you and I made a film about grief and you had your experience of it and I had my very different experience of it, and then it wouldn't be relevant. It was just either of our stories. But if we take it together as a composite, it becomes extremely powerful. So that's the way it works. They come into the classroom, they make a film, and then they share it. When it's finished, they share it with each other. They share it in the community setting a month later. And it's a very validating experience to have something up there on the screen that you've been a part of and can make and can show. And it also helps bring the community closer to the civilian community, closer to the military community.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak specifically to scenes of service. This was a film made this past year. I can tell you a little bit more about where we're working and our area of operation in a minute. But in terms of this one specific film that was made at Colorado State University by five female veterans that just found each other in the workshop. And they said, we want to make a film about the challenges of female veterans in the military. And it ended up being kind of this montage of positive and negative experiences that people that female veterans have had in the military around getting hazed and around being felt like they didn't, feeling like they didn't deserve a promotion, but at the same time dealing with the rigors of being a mother and a spouse and all those things. In many cases, a single mother. And this is all about transcendence. And what's so interesting is, again, it's five people that did not know each other making a film together, basically in about a day or a day and a half, that channels things that all of us can relate to. I mean, if five people that don't know each other make a film, and it speaks to aspects of things that all of them have dealt with, imagine how many other people it might resonate with.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Especially with scenes of service. I couldn't believe they had all of those messages, and it was so articulated in a 5-minute film. That was just so good. And I want to go back to Ben, to something you said. Not only that camaraderie of working together and getting the message out there, but then having that finished piece of film. I mean, what an accomplishment to have that and show that, and just to have that forever. That's got to mean so much to these veterans.
It does. And, you know, it's both sides. It means a lot to the veterans, and it also means a lot to the community members that see it. Because, as I said, you know, these are people that, like myself, that haven't experienced warfare and loss. However, trauma is something that, while I could never relate to what a veteran has been through in a direct way, I certainly can. I mean, trauma still feels the same. I mean, I lost and my ex-wife, the mother of my son, took her own life 5 years ago. And so there was trauma that our whole family felt associated with that, although we couldn't, you know, put it in parallel to, to military trauma or military sexual trauma or anything like that. It still feels the same, you know, and I think that's a very powerful thing. But I do feel like it's also a transcendent experience for the veteran to get up, to finish a product, finish a project, to show it to people, to have that kind of validation. And I will tell you that it's actually proven to be statistically valuable, or clinically valuable, I should say. We did a clinical study with the VA that showed that of the veterans that did our workshop in this clinical study that had diagnosable levels of post-traumatic stress, but were not getting mental health support from the VA, largely because they didn't want it. 8 out of 10 of those veterans took an appointment with the VA within a couple of months of doing a workshop.
Oh,
and
wow.
This is what it's all about.
Wow.
It's not a PTSD reducer. It's really a gateway.
Yeah. No.
It's a gateway to have a veteran, yes, change their attitude toward themselves, their families, their surroundings, and their future, and say, you know what? You know, I finished this project. I met some new people. You know, they weren't so bad. That Ben Patton wasn't such a bad guy. And I met some other veterans. But I also had a sense of purpose and I finished something. And so maybe I should take another look at my prospects and my future. Mm. And that's the idea. And that's why nobody in the world is doing anything like this.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century, so has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles and have publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message data rates may apply.
Have you ever lifted a piece of furniture only to discover the carpet underneath looks brand new while the rest of it looks, well, not brand new? That's when you realize you need new carpet. At the Home Depot, we have a wide selection of all the top brands. Best of all, installation is included. So all you need to do is choose something that matches your style. Start your carpet project today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Installation included with qualifying purchases. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
To battle is to fight, to struggle, to overcome, and ultimately for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation. A promise kept for more than 2 centuries. A promise of the Marines.
According to the latest research from the Department of Education, just 43% of fourth graders in the U.S. are reading at or above the national proficiency level. The facts are clear. Our nation is facing a literacy crisis. But rather than solve the problem, school districts across the country are masking it by lowering standards and redefining proficiency. That is unfair to the children they are trusted to serve. The Leadership Institute's School Board Leaders Program refuses to give up on our nation's children. They deserve better, and we know that they rise to the occasion when we set high standards and believe in them. Reversing this trend demands that our education system get back to the basics of teaching reading, writing, math, and the sciences, and upholding high standards. The success and future of our country depends on the ability of our citizens to read and think. Visit leadershipinstitute.org/schoolboard to learn more about how we're working for a world-class education for every student, restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one topic at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
If you want to know what's coming down the line for the United States, do remember, personnel is policy. Also, we'll find out just how much of a split there is between the U.S. and Europe over the Russia-Ukraine war. All this and more on Liberty Nation Radio. If you want to know what's coming down the line for the United States, do remember, personnel is policy. Also, we'll find out just how much of a split there is between the U.S. and Europe over the Russia-Ukraine war. All this and more on Liberty Nation Radio.
Talking to Ben Patton here on the National Defense, the PattonVeteransProject.org. Okay, listen, I watched the film on your website, How to Speak First Sergeant. Hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me about that one.
Well, again, it's at its core, it's a comedy. There's no doubt. And it's a lot of hyperbole. It's basically about overlaying the command structure, you know, the typical classic drill sergeant, you know, right out of Officer to Gentleman, that's yelling and screaming at his troopers, and overlay that with the corporate culture. And it's a sort of a guy who's a corporate executive who's haunting this other mid-level corporate guy, both of whom are veterans, and he's treating him like a drill sergeant would treat him. And yet at the end, the moral is that, hey, this is corporate world. This is civilian world. We're not at war.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to sort of treat another person in that way. But it's very powerful, and it resonated with the veterans who made it. These are, again, four or five veterans that didn't know each other at Colorado State University. They're working together, and it was a comedy, but it had an underlying theme of the importance and the differences between the challenges
right.
you have in corporate life and the challenges you have when you're getting shot at downrange.
Right.
So
right.
it's just another example of how powerful this experience is, and it doesn't always have to be negative.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's like, you know, we talk a lot about on this program when people transition out and, you know, do your military skills translate to the civilian world. So, I mean, that's such a funny way to bring that out. And I also watched, I mean, there's seemingly no subjects that you guys or that these veterans shy away from. I watched Ledge, the short film on your site, and veteran suicide. I mean, there's so many themes that, again, like you mentioned, Ben, are universal, but you get to see them in a much different way.
Well, I think you have to think about, well, look, we've done these workshops for about 13 years all over the country. We even did several in Israel with Israeli veterans and Israeli veterans in America
really?
Working together. But recently we sort of had a renaissance after it. We're still a small organization. Hey, and I'm not going to lie and say, we need support and we need visibility that thankfully your wonderful program is going to give us. But we've been doing this for a while, but recently we got a contract coming out of COVID with the VA. This is a couple of years after having finished this monumental study. And that was really different because in the past we've gone to military bases and they've had transformative experiences, but we had no way to follow up with them because many of the vets would go back downrange or they transition out of the military and they might have a .mil email address and then we'd lose them. Mm-hmm. Now we have a contract with the VA specifically in the Rocky Mountain area, which is the highest suicide rate
really?
Area in the United States for veterans. Wyoming and Montana, where we work, have for the last several years been number one and number two on the list, 2.5 times the suicide rate as the rest of the country on average among veterans. And under 30, that rate is increasing. And there are about 60,000 vets in that region alone in the four main Rocky Mountain states that have post-traumatic stress, diagnosable levels of PTSD, but are not enrolled with the VA. So we were hired specifically by the Office of Rural Health, which deals with suicide prevention, to help find these veterans. I mean, the VA not only can't get them enrolled, but they can't even find them.
Sure.
So are those veterans who probably go there to get away from people, not realizing
right.
that it puts them on the road to suicidal ideation and depression and anxiety. But it's a way to draw them out of the woodwork to get them to do our workshop. Many of them, we're starting to get into tribal areas now because there's a lot of challenges within the tribal communities where they have sort of, specific ways of reintegrating troops, some of which are powerful, reintegrating the veterans into their tribal communities, but they don't have the resources that the VA has. So there's a lot of good things about the VA that bringing you into this culture is a good thing and getting you support, not just meds, but therapy and so forth.
Right,
so
right.
we've now been hired by this, by one region of the VA, there's 19 of them, but one region of the VA in the Rocky Mountain area that's giving us a moderate grant so we can do a workshop a month and help, 150 veterans a year or more. Mm. And to get them to flip a switch in a certain sense. It's not exactly a switch, but it's a gateway.
Right.
In other words, we're not reducing post-traumatic stress necessarily, but what we are doing is changing that veteran's attitude toward themselves and their prospects, as I said, and their family, so that maybe they'll turn around and come out of that and say, you know, maybe I should take my meds. Maybe I should call my ex-wife. Maybe I should go to the VA counseling sessions or the coffee socials. And that's the goal. And this encompasses so many other types of therapy, because you can put anything on film, whether it's dance or theater or sculpture or poetry writing or anything else. So we think it's absolutely a game changer. The trick is to get the rest of the world to think that.
Well, yeah, and Ben, you're right. I mean, it's a breakthrough, right? It may be the first breakthrough in a long time for a lot of these veterans. But the way that they, you know, have the your workshops and make the films, just a great example of something that maybe they've never even thought about. So, you know, to your point of kind of looking at maybe some different things they can do with their life, or ways to be creative, and, you know, ways to cope with what they're going through. It's just a great, it's on so many levels, it's so great. The patentveteransproject.org. Ben, how?
No, I wanted to say a couple other things, though, if I could. Can I add a couple of embellishments to what I've already said? So we are finding that it's working. We are finding that these veterans are coming out of the woodwork, and we invite any veteran, because the veterans that are not struggling know where their fellow veterans are that are struggling, you know, much better than you and I might know.
Yeah, right.
And so they know where to find them. And we are finding that this is actually helping. We are getting veterans enrolled that weren't enrolled. We are getting them to look at their lives in a more positive way. And I have a wonderful example of that. I mean, we know that we're helping veterans. There's just no doubt about it. And the significance of this VA contract is that not only is the VA helping us with recruiting and some infrastructure and administration, they are also doing assessments before, after, and several months after the workshop. We have our screening, then we come back to them 4 months later and find out, hey, how are you doing? What are your stress levels? Have you gone to the VA? Have you looked at new mental health support? And I had a wonderful example only 2 weeks ago where I went to one of these community screenings where there were veterans presenting their films. And there was one soldier that came up, a retired soldier. He was dealing with Parkinson's. He had you know, been injured downrange. He was in one of those electric wheelchairs. And, you know, he was really struggling. He was probably 50, and he seemed, you know, in his current state, maybe to be a little bit older than that and kind of really beaten down. And there was a skeptical veteran in the audience who said, hey, what did you really get out of this weekend? What really changed in you? You know, he was kind of like curious and questioning. And this veteran veteran came up with a microphone, grabbed his microphone with a bit of a shaky hand and said, you know, as a result of this workshop, I decided not to kill myself.
Oh, wow.
And I've never heard anything like that. There's a difference between sort of having the idea that you're helping veterans and having a veteran look you in the eye and say, you saved my life.
Wow. Do you have that on film?
You can't put a price on that. Oh, I do. You can't put that price. I mean, it's not in the film, but
no,
recorded the event, and it's quite striking.
Oh, wow. How powerful is that? That's incredible.
And that's when you know you're doing the right thing. And I would love to be doing this all over the country right now. We're just doing it in Wyoming, Colorado, and Montana, because that's the amount of support we have, enough for some private support and some support from the VA to do this once a month. But wouldn't I love to have veterans call me from all over the country and say, look, could you do this here? Could you do this there? We'd have to find the funding, whether it's private or whether it's public, which is the public funding is a little bit in some tumult right now with the changeover in the administration. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of private funding out there, and there are lots of people that I think would really enjoy this. And maybe the first step they can make is to go up to our website, take a look at some of the films, and, you know, get in touch with us either through the phone number that's on the site or the email and say, look, I'm interested in bringing this to my area. And we could hopefully find some of the nonprofits that you and I are in connection with to get that support. And we'd have a VA in the area that will also partner with us to do the follow up. And that's kind of my goal. My goal is to help as many people in their own way. That's what my father and my grandfather did.
PatentVeteransProject.org is where to start. And I would just encourage you to go to the site, watch the films. They're so good, so well produced, so well done. And the message is always so great. Ben, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for taking the time. I know your grandfather and your dad are so proud of you. And just really appreciate the time.
No, I really appreciate it. And again, I would just, again, encourage whether you're a potential donor, funder, funding organization, have contacts, or are a person that would like to take part in this, even if it's not in the area where we're operating right now, please get in touch with us and let's find a way to work together.
That's great. Thank you so much, Ben. Have a great day.
Such a pleasure, Randy. You take care.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-432-3614. 800-432-3614. 800-432-3614. That's 800-432.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.